All right. Welcome back again. My name is Brett Statham, a technical evangelist based out of San Diego. And in this session, I'm going to take a look at using the platformer template game that Daniel showed you earlier and taking some of the different assets that I talked about creating in the previous session on creating sound and graphical assets and trying to put them all together into a cohesive game that you could sort of call your own. Remember that the demo files that I create are available online, msdnevents.com/game-on/resources.htm. So feel free to grab them from there. And I'm not going to labor you with a bunch of slides here. Let's go ahead and dive into demo and see how to put this stuff all together. So I've got a copy of Game Maker open, and this has got the template game that Daniel showed you earlier already open in it. And I'm going to go ahead and just play the game really quick. And as I do that, pay attention to all the assets that you see and hear. You know, the background sounds, the effect sounds, the background scenery, the sprites, and all the different graphical elements of the game. So let me go ahead and run this here. And it's going to be kind of loud. I can hopefully get it turned down a little bit, but just listen up there. And I'll run through and do a quick play on it. All right, so we saw, you know, a lot of stuff going on in there. You know, there's the sounds when I collect coins, there was that background music, there was the sound when I killed the enemy, there were the animations, the floors, the enemy itself, the coins, you know, all this different stuff going on. And so much of that game experience are the various assets that you can replace inside that template and really make this game your own. So let's see how to do that. Back over here in Game Maker, really the things that you want to focus on replacing fall into sprites, sounds, and backgrounds. And so I'm going to dig in. Let's go ahead and start looking at replacing some of these different sprites. So for the player, notice I actually have a number of different sprites based on the state that the player is currently in. Idle, walking, jumping, if he's dead, if he's climbing a ladder. So I'm going to go in and start replacing these. Now for the idle, I actually have an animation where the player kind of sways back and forth. And for an animation in the assets module, I talked about sprite sheets. So I want to load this from a sprite sheet. The way that I can load from a single image that has a bunch of sub images is to click on edit sprite and then get this where I can see the window here. File, create from strip. And I'm going to browse out on my C drive here. I've got this game on folder and under demos, assets, graphics. My new player is going to be this construction worker, and he's going to be running around and jumping around on girders or various, you know, I-beam iron bars at a construction site. I'm going to call him Girder Gary. And as I drill into here, I can see the idle animation for my construction worker there. And in fact, I was nice enough in the name of the file to indicate the frame size and that it's a strip. And so my frame size is 48 by 48 square. And I can see here that I have four frames, all on a single row, and they're 48 by 48. It's good. Now, these other options down here are if you had more than one row of sub-images, and if there were a subset of those images that you wanted to pull in. For me, I don't need to mess with that, so I'm leaving them all at zero. Say OK, and I can actually show a preview, and there I see my animation, this worker sort of swaying back and forth. He's doing it pretty fast, so I can slow down the preview. This is just the preview speed. But that looks good. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the green check mark up here. And I see the 48 by 48. That's what the previous size was. But I also need to make sure that I place the origin directly at the center of the sprite. And that's because that's the way the template was built. The template had sprites that were 48 by 48, and they were positioned based on their centers being at the, or sorry, their origin being at their center. So 48 divided by 2 would be 24, 24, or you could just hit the center button, and it'll put that in there for you. All right, so I'm going to repeat that process for the walking animation. Create from sprite or strip. Browse up, get the walking. And there it is. And in this case, there's actually 8 frames, 8 on a row, and 48 by 48. Looks good. And there's my walking animation. You know, I actually created that animation in the assets module, but I never really got to see it play. And so here it is. There's that walking animation. We'll see it in the game here shortly. For the jumping, oh, don't forget to center. I'm going to forget to center one, I'm sure. For the jump, it's actually not an animation. We just have a still frame of this guy jumping through the air. So we'll, again, go out to C, game on, putting it all together, demos, assets, graphics, and construction worker jumping. There he is, right? And remember the 4848 and centered on the origin, or origin on the center. For when the player dies, I've got a single image. So we'll pull in dead for that. Center on the origin at the center. And one last animation, so I'll load this in from a strip, of the worker climbing up a ladder. And there's four frames all on the same row, 48 by 48. Cool, and I can see the animation of him there climbing a ladder. Cool stuff. All right, so center him and okay. Now, along with that, I've got some other sprites that I can replace. In fact, right up here at the top is snap mode. That's if the Windows 8 game gets dragged over into snap mode, we actually pause it, and I want to show you a meaningful graphic. So currently the graphic says, hey, the game's paused, leave snap mode to continue, but I want to brand that a little more around my game. So I have a snap screen graphic that I want to pull in for that. That's got Gert or Gary holding a pause sign and the bird pooping on it and all that. And you know what? Actually, I forget where that one was centered. Oh, no, it was. It was 323.20.00, so that's all good. So I'll replace that. Then I have my coin. In this case, it's just a spinning coin. I'm going to go ahead and replace that. I have my own. Create from strip, and I'm going to browse out, up here. Since it's a construction worker, I had him go around collecting circular saw blades. So this one has eight animations, or eight frames in the animation, and they're actually half the size of normal. So they're 24 by 24, so I'm going to use that, and I'll center it. There's the spinning circular saw blade, and center it right there, or center the origin. And the one other one here then is the enemy. Now, if you look at the player, they didn't name the player sprite robot, even though that's what the original graphic was. They did, however, name the enemy sprite crab, and I wish they hadn't done that. So I'm going to come in here and rename SPR crab to SPR enemy walk. And it's going to go find all the references to that old name and update them to the new name. So that's cool. And in fact, if you search through the rest of the game, you find out the dead sprite is never used. So I'm just going to delete that and get rid of it so I don't have to worry about managing it. And for the enemy, Daniel and I were talking, hey, we got Gert or Gary jumping around on girders at a construction site. You know, a crab isn't going to be his enemy. What should his enemy be? And Daniel suggested, you know, a pigeon. So that's what our enemy is here. So I'm going to go edit the sprite, create from a strip. And for my pigeon, this is one that I actually just found an image of a pigeon on the internet, and then I sort of traced it in Inkscape into a game character here. So I have an animation of him walking, and it's a four-frame animation, and 48 by 48 for the frame size. And there he is. There's my walking pigeon. And I got to remember to center the origin. Sounds good. The other ones here, the rocket, the warp portal, the water, the ladder, I'm going to leave those all as is, but those are other assets that you could certainly look at replacing. All right. So we've got all of our graphical assets replaced with the exception of the backgrounds and splash screens. We'll come back to those in a second here. Let's go ahead and run this and see how it's looking. Hey, all right, so there's my player, and I can see he's animating, but you might see that the animation's playing slower than the actual movement would imply, right? Let's get up here. We'll kill the pigeon. Actually, the other problem we have is our pigeon walks backwards, so we got to fix that as well. But here's what I'm talking about with the player. Notice as I walk back and forth, his feet are moving kind of slow, but the actual character's moving along pretty quickly. So I need to fix those problems. Let's come back here and take care of those. So the problem with the player can be fixed down here in the actual objects that show the player sprite. There's two of them. There's a OBJ Player Simple that gets used on level 1, and an OBJ Player Advanced that gets used on level 2. It knows how to deal with water and shooting bullets and some other stuff there. So I'm going to come up to the simple one here, and where the walking animation gets shown is when you press the left or the right keys on the keyboard. So it's down here that we change the sprite into the walking animation. And right now when it does it, it plays it at 20% full speed. And that was okay when the robot was played because you only had a couple of steps in it, so it was okay to play it slow. But with my construction worker, there's 8 frames in that animation. And so it takes that much longer to get through the entire animation. And so it looks like he's walking really slowly. So I'm going to go ahead and play that animation at full speed, 100% the speed. And I'll do the same thing when he walks right. Play him at 100% the speed. So that was for the simple sprite. I need to do it for the advanced one as well. When he walks left, play his walking animation at full speed. And when he walks right, play his walking animation at full speed. All right. So we got the walking speed fixed. Another issue then was the pigeon, right? And so with the pigeon, that was my enemy. That's actually under simple objects, OBJ enemy. And there's a few things there. First of all, the character sprite is drawn facing right. But when he gets created, they set his horizontal speed negative, which is left. So he's facing right, but he's walking left. So I can fix that problem by transforming his sprite, right? So I'm going to use this transform sprite, and we'll scale him negative 100% along the x-axis, and that's going to flip him and make him look the other direction. Cool? Now, this wasn't a problem with the original enemy because he was a crab, and he was always facing forward. So whether he was moving to the left or the right didn't really matter because he was always facing forward. But for our pigeon there, we have to flip him. So we start him out. He's moving left, so we transform him to look left. Well, when he walks, he checks to see, hey, if there's not a floor object off to my left just below me, then I need to turn around and go to the right. And so we set the horizontal speed positive. But at that point, I need to transform him back to the right again. So I'll scale him 100% along the x-axis, which will make him face right. Conversely, if there's not one to the right of him, just below him, then we need to flip him back the other way again. Negative horizontal speed, so I need to transform him negatively again as well. Negative 100% along the x-axis. Cool. And that's if he's up on a platform. We're checking to see, is he about to walk off the end? In which case, we turn him around. The other one is, what if he's down in a pit and he's about to run into a wall? And that's going to be something that inherits from floor parent there. Well, so in that case, I have a problem because right now I'm not sure which direction he's going, so I don't know how to transform him. So I need to do a little test here. We'll come in and check a variable and say, hey, is the object's H speed, which is a system variable, and you can read up about that in the documentation, less than or equal to 0. If that's the case, he's turning or he's walking left and he's hit a wall. He was walking right, hit a wall, and then turned around. So now he's walking left. And if that's the case, I need to transform him left. So because we've already reversed him. So he was walking right, hit a wall, we've turned him left. And so if that's the case, then we need to transform the sprite here. So we'll drag this in and put negative 100% since he's walking left. Otherwise, we must have flipped him back to the right. And we'll transform him off to the right 100%. Oh, get that back in the block there. There we go. Cool. All right. So now we should have that guy all set to go. The one other thing with my pigeon, though, is that he can end up being in water. And if that's the case, I want him to swim, not walk. So I'm going to come in here and add one more sprite up here. Enemy swimming. And we'll load this sprite from a strip. And you'll see I've got a swimming animation for my pigeon. And if you zoomed in on that, you'd see he's wearing a scuba tank and a mask and he blows bubbles, etc. There's 4 frames in that at 48x48. And there's my swimming pigeon animation. And okay on that. Center it. And down here then, when we create the enemy, back up in the creation code, I'm going to do a little test because I only want to show him walking if he's on land. If he's in water, I want to show him swimming. So I'm going to come in here and do another test. It says, hey, if there is at the same position as the current object, water relative to the current object, in that case, then we want to change the sprite to the enemy swimming at 20% speed. Because this is, there's a fewer frames in this animation, so we'll play it slower. Otherwise, start another block. And then we make him walk. And then still flip the horizontal speed and make him face the right direction, just like we did before. Cool. All right, so we should have our bird all taken care of. Let's play this and see how we're doing. All right, the bird walks, and he flips. Awesome. My character animates a little more appropriately for his walking speed. Life's good. Let's see if we can get off to level 2. In fact, I'll tell you what, rather than play through it here, I'm going to go into the splash screen. When you click on it, rather than going into level 1 immediately, we'll jump into level 2 so we don't have to play that whole level 1 every time. Run it. We should start out level 2 here. And we should see pigeons swimming now and flipping, facing the right directions. All's looking good. All right, so let's finish this up. Let's go replace the rest of our assets, right? We've gone through and done all the sprites with the exception of the floor. So the floor right now is just sort of this gray block. And I want to actually have some girders here instead. So in my assets, graphics, girder, floor tiles, notice I have a left, a middle, and a right girder. However, right now there's only one sprite for the floor and one object for the floor, which is this OBJ floor parent. Well, we can create sort of sub-objects or just like we could have a base class and subclasses, we can have sort of a base object and sub-objects. And so, first of all, I want three new sprites for these three new objects I'm going to create. First one's going to be SPR floor left, and we'll load that sprite in from that girder tile of left. It's going to be 48, 48. And on these guys, I actually do want their origin at 0, 0. So that's okay. And two more of those guys, SPR floor mid, load in the middle one, and SPR floor right, and load in the right one. Now I need three objects, one for each. So down here on objects, we'll create an object. Left. And we'll use the left sprite. I want to make sure the market is solid so the player can't fall through it. This is a platform that the player will stand on. And I'm going to mark its parent as being the floor parent object out there. And that means that all the existing conditions that test on floor parent or that are based on floor parent will work with OBJ floor left or OBJ floor mid or OBJ floor right. Just like, you know, I can treat a child as the same class as the parent in code. I can do the same thing here with these objects. So that's great. That means I don't have to go rewrite all the existing logic. Pretty awesome. So I'll OK on that. And then I'll repeat that process for the other two. Oops, sorry. Down here, create an object, OBJ floor mid. Give it the middle sprite. And OBJ floor parent as the parent object. And okay, and one last one. Oops, sorry. OBJ floor right. And solid. OBJ floor parent. There we go. And I don't remember, did I give mid solid? I think I did. Yes. Okay. Cool. All right, so I should be good to go. And now that means that I can get into my rooms and start replacing tiles. And let's go ahead. I'm going to start on room two here. I probably won't demo doing room one. It's the same thing. But we'll do it to room two, since that's what we're starting at right now. So down to rooms, level two. And I can zoom in here. I'm going to start with the left ones. So let me change the current object off to OBJ floor left. And I need one here. So first of all, where I control click to place an object, delete anything that's under it. So that replaced that floor with a left girder. Now these guys, remember girders on a construction site would be kind of floating in air, maybe hanging from a crane or something like that. So I don't need all these supporting blocks under here. So I'm just going to control right click to delete those blocks and get them out of my way there. I don't need them. Cool, and I'll zoom over here. I need left, and again, I can delete these, but the ones that are right next to the water, I'm gonna leave those there. I should probably come back with something more appropriate for a tile for those, but for the demo, I don't have that. Delete these middle ones, get back over here. Cool. Left, control click, and then control right click to get rid of those guys, and then just a couple more lefts. There we go. Let's flip over and do the rights. OBJ floor right. And there we go. I think that's it. And then all the other ones are mids. All right, so we'll see what that looks like here when we actually come in and play it. Let me close that up. I'm going to let it delete any other sprites it didn't need. And lastly, then, just a few more things to replace here. Let's flip out our sounds. So during the assets module, I came in and created, using Soundation, a background song. Let's go grab a copy of that guy. And there it is. Now that's background music, so I'll leave it that way and say okay. And then I have some other ones, and I'm not going to replace all of these, but be aware these are all available to you to replace. When you collect a coin, that's a saw, or a saw blade, so I have a saw sound for that. We can test it. Okay, so that's the sound when you collect a coin. Similarly, I've got some sounds for the player dying. And jumping. I didn't replace the warp portal, but you could. When the enemy dies, that was if you watched the assets module, I talked about my daughter recording the sound of a pigeon squawking. So, or at least her impression of it. So there it is. So that's going to be what it sounds like with that. And I'm not replacing firing the weapon or explosion, but those are there for you to replace as well. And then lastly, just the backgrounds. So there's a splash start, a splash end, and then the main scenery for the game itself. So if I open this up, notice you can see their current size, 1024 by 576. So when I made my new scenery or new screens, I made sure that they were that size. So I'll load in the backgrounds here that I created. And I have for the splash screens, the start. And so here's this Girder Gary graphic that I have. And so we'll OK on that. I have another very similar one for the end. It just says, thanks for playing, up along the top. And then I have the main scenery, which is the stars and planets right now. And I've got some buildings that we're going to put in there. All right. So with that said, I think we've got, other than me going in and replacing the girders in level one, we've got it pretty much done here. So let's save it up and give it a play. All right. I see he's floating on a girder in space. And hup noises and saw noises. There's the pigeons swimming along. The background music's playing. Let's kill a pigeon. There's that. And that's the game, right? Actually, before I win it here, let's put it in snap mode. There's the snap screen that we talked about earlier. Drag it back out. And there's the end splash screen with the thanks for playing on it, but I can again tap to play again. All right. So let me jump back over here, and hopefully with that, you see that then you can basically take the assets that we looked at creating in the Creating Assets module, as well as the template that Daniel talked about, and let you create a game that's really very much your own. We saw some places where we had to go in and change the game logic just slightly, but this is really now a springboard that you can use to go in and change the game logic even more and really customize the game into something that's yours and that's unique. And with that, thanks very much for your time. Again, remember, you can get a copy of the resources from the resources page, and have fun creating games.